Welcome to Stand to Reason's hashtag STRask podcast. I'm Amy Hall, and Greg Kokel is here with me, and we're here to answer the questions you send on Twitter with the hashtag STRask. We always look forward to hearing from you, and we cannot do this show without you, so make sure you send those questions in. Are you ready to get going, Greg?
Yep, all set.
All right.
Looking forward to the first question, because I know what it is.
Yes, I gave Greg a heads up on this question so he could be thinking about it ahead of time, and you'll see why as soon as I read it. All right, this question comes from Hank. How would you tear down a social justice warrior's reliance on Kafka trap fallacies like any white man denying he's a racist just proves he's a racist? Mm-hmm. I understand it's an illogical tactic, but I want the SJW to understand that and stop.
Mm-hmm. I'm chuckling here because I read this last night. I think you sent it to me before I went to bed, and I just didn't want to think about it or else I wouldn't be able to sleep well. But I think I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about it anyway. And the first thing I did when I got up is just had a flood of ideas about responding to this. Now, the difficulty with this kind of challenge is it's offered on the heels of an accusation, obviously. Someone is being accused by an SJW, social justice warrior, that they're racist. Now, keep in mind that a white person is racist on this view by definition, period. All somebody has to do is look at your skin color, and they on this view, they know you're a racist. Now, this is no different, absolutely no different, though many of our listeners will not remember this, the older ones will, than in the 50s and the 60s, which I remember, when somebody said, see, that guy's black, don't hire him, black guys are lazy, or blacks are stupid, or he's Jewish, he's going to steal from you, he's avaricious. Notice the prejudice that is expressed there. When I say prejudice, it means something very specific. I'm not just simply using rhetorical flourishes here. A person who is prejudiced is somebody who prejudges based on a quality of a person that is inconsequential to the judgment being made. All right? It's just a prejudgment. And it's based on a bigotry. The bigotry that blacks are lazy, Jews are avaricious, or something like that. And so the generalized, bigoted attitude about the group, which is what racism classically used to be, is specifically applied to a person you don't know, and which might not be that way at all, but you're just drawing the conclusion based on some peripheral, inconsequential factor. This is what's going on here. And when someone is addressed like this, with this kind of challenge, it stops them in their tracks. It stops the person who's raising the objection in their tracks, because this is a rhetorical flourish that catches them by surprise and they don't know what to say. Now, I've been thinking about this general concept for a while, this challenge, this way of you can't even say it's a way of arguing, because it's not arguing. It's speaking only. And it turns out to be a ridiculously ham-handed rhetorical manipulation. And you're going to see why it's rhetorical manipulation, clearly, but it's especially ham-handed when you see the counterexamples I'll give and the way I respond to this. But keep in mind that these aren't responses that just come right off the top of my head. When you are facing rhetorical challenges like this that sound really effective, like you're not in favor of racial equality, or silence is violence, or these kinds of aphorisms that people use to promote their secularist views, it stops many people in their tracks, me too. And what you have to do is think at a different time, when the pressure's off, on your own, about how you can respond in a way that exposes the foolishness, all right? So I am sympathetic to Hank's inability to respond to this, and Hank wants to get me something to knock him off with, you know. And so I do have some responses. I think they're entirely appropriate. But, I mean, you could simply start out with, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my own life. And it would be accurate because it is stupid, but that would not be a charitable response and maybe just would be inflammatory to the other person. So I just want everybody who's listening to me to know that is a stupid, ham-handed, rhetorical flourish that goes nowhere except for to illicitly stop the conversation, okay? So what I am going to suggest is that you come under the radar with your response, but you have to know your response in advance, which I'll give you a couple of different examples of it. You come under the radar and catch them by surprise by employing the taking the roof off tactic. Now, what the taking the roof off tactic is you buy their way of reasoning and then you apply it back to them, or you follow it out to its logical conclusion, which would, in this case, be applying it back to them and see what they think of that way of thinking. All right. So here is my first counter, and this might be the best one. Read the charge again, just to get us up to speed here for this little role play dialogue, Amy. And you don't have to role play it. Just read the charge again.
Any white man denying he's a racist just proves he's a racist.
I am so glad you said that. Why? Because statements like that prove that you're wrong. Why? It's so obvious. Can't you see it? And if you can't see, that's more evidence that you're really wrong. All I'm doing is saying the same stupid thing back to them that they had just said to us. But notice how I, in a sense, draw them in by saying, I'm really glad you say that. What? Why would you say that? Because it's kind of like, you guys say this stuff all the time, and it just proves that you're wrong. What do you mean it proves that you're wrong? I'm not wrong. That's the proof. The fact that you don't think you're wrong is proof that you are. Now, this is exactly what they are doing with no rationale, okay? There's no reason why one can point to thinking you're not a racist confirms that you're a racist. That makes no sense. Now, there is something that is similar to this that at least makes sense. I do think it's wrong-headed, but at least it makes sense. I had a pastor once that said, he was talking about humility, and he said, if you think you're humble, that proves you're not. Because on his definition, which I think is false, it's a mistaken way of looking at humility, especially biblically. On his way of thinking, humility was not thinking highly of yourself. And if you think you're humble, that means you think you have a virtue called humility. And that's thinking too highly of yourself, and therefore that's an example of lack of humility. And therefore, you're not really humble if you think you are. Now, I don't think that goes through. I think there are all kinds of problems with that. But at least that is an approach that kind of makes sense, because the challenge is based on a definition of humility that gets violated when someone says they are humble. Do you see how that works there? Mm-hmm. I think that's the wrong definition of humility. That's why I don't think it works. But at least it's not, you know, incoherent. It's not just plain old silly.
There's a connection between the two parts.
Exactly. There's a connection between those parts. And I'm looking at my notes because I took some notes on this. And so if somebody were to say, and now this would be a more, if you're dealing with somebody that's more, a little bit more reasonable and is willing to talk through this, our Columbo would come in really nicely here. But see, this is presuming something that I can pretty much guarantee is not the case, that somebody is reasonable when they make this charge. Okay, because this isn't completely, I mean, it's so unreasonable, it's borderline nonsense. Okay. So another approach that presumes the challenger is modestly reasonable, which I'm saying is probably not the case, is to respond by, say, you say I'm a racist. Instead of saying, no, I'm not, and then they can say, well, then blah, 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 then you must prove. What is a racist? What is a racist? Now, that's column number one. What do you mean by that? What is a racist? Now, so if you think of the parallel here with humility, I'm trying to figure out, well, what is that thing, or lack of humility in this case, what is that thing that I am guilty of here? Define it, okay? Find the definition. And then the question is, why would you think that thing that you just defined is a personal flaw in my personal character? Now, this is our second Colombo question. How'd you come to that conclusion? So what we're doing is we're taking the, in this instance, we're taking the objection seriously that the person actually believes I'm a racist. And so we say, what is a racist? That then you would think I qualify for that. All right. Now, I know what the answer is. According to CRT, you're a racist because you're white. And this takes us back to the original objection that this is just old-fashioned bigotry and prejudice that Martin Luther King fought against. And that's why the recent Solid Ground, the May Solid Ground that came out, was called Critical Race Theory, Civil Rights Upside Down. It's all backwards. It's a reversal of what the noble civil rights movement of the 60s, 50s and 60s entailed. Okay, so now that you can take that route if you want to try that, use your Colombo 1 and 2, and then ask, what am I doing that satisfies that definition, presuming that they actually gave you a definition that is substantive, that you have an animosity against blacks of some sort or whatever, or people of color. But if they just say, well, because you're white, that's ridiculous. That's just plain old. How is this different than what, you know, Jim Crow laws and all that other stuff? So remember, that's presuming that they're willing to talk about it. And then you require them to characterize, to explain why your character matches the vice they just accused you of, but they have to define the nature of the vice. Okay? The reason I'm giving you all of this about this kind of conversation is I'm just showing you there is a fair and reasonable way of demonstrating that people are wrong in this. I'm presuming, of course, that the person that's being accused of racism doesn't genuinely have the vice of, isn't really a racist, which in the classic substantive sense of the word. Some people are, all right, so this wouldn't apply because you're guilty. But what I've just explained to you, you're not going to get to use. And I'll tell you why you're not going to get to use it, because these people don't care about what is sound and reasonable, all right? And so that's my general sense, that no one who resorts to these kinds of verbal manipulations can be reasoned with. And the reason I say that is because the statement itself is so blatantly irrational, dumb, like I said a moment ago. But even so, the person who uses it has no idea how idiotic it sounds. That means careful thinking about emotionally charged issues like this is not that person's strong suit, okay? So keep in mind, I'm telling you what's going on, and I'm telling you a reasonable way of addressing the issue, which you're not going to have a chance to do probably. That's the Colombo tactic 1 and 2, because the person is not reasonable. So with that in mind, I'm going to give you some more retorts to do the best that you can to show how dumb this is. Amy?
Can I throw one thing out there first? Sure. Because it goes along with what the tactic you just gave. Not only can you ask about the definition of racism and why they think you're racism, but you can also ask, how does this prove that I'm a racist? Make them explain how saying you're not racist proves you're racist. Because I think a lot of these people have not thought through this at all. And it may right. not be that they're completely irrational people. It may just be that they've learned these are the things you say, but they've never thought through it. So you can also ask them to explain how so. how does denying I'm racist prove I'm racist and make them, you know, connect those dots explicitly?
Yeah, that's excellent. And that's a variation of Columbo number two. How'd you come to that conclusion? And what they may say is, because all racists deny that they're racist. To which you respond, so do non-racists. So do non-racists.
Or you could ask them if they're racist
deny
at that,
that
point.
They're racist. Well, if they're white, they're going to say they are. I mean, because this is, they're just buying into it. They say, yes, of course I am. I have to admit my white racism and my resistance, my white fragility, but I've overcome my white fragility because now I realize how bad I am, that I am a part of the system and I have white privilege and all that other stuff that goes along with this, okay? So, but that all presumes that you're dealing with somebody who is moderately reasonable, okay? And maybe once in a while you'll find somebody like that. But I think there's a series of, I'll give you a couple of different examples of the same thing. Examples of using the tactic, taking the roof off, which is you buy their approach for the sake of discussion, and then you apply it in other ways to show how ridiculous it is. So you give the idea a test drive, and you see where it leads. So I've already mentioned one, if you want to start out that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, well, that could be inflammatory, or you could just say it, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And then they might ask you why, and this is where you can come in with some of the alternatives, the counterexamples, or you could forget the stupid line and just come in with counterexamples like the first one I offered. Bam, I'm glad you said that. Why? Because statements like that prove that you're wrong. Why? Well, it's just so obvious. And if you can't see it, that's more evidence that you're totally wrong on this. Okay. Now, is that a ridiculous statement? Of course it's ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous as this statement. Or how about this? I knew you'd say that. And I'm glad you did. Why? Because it proves you're wrong. Why? Because no one would say that unless they were wrong. Don't you see that? No. Well, that's even more evidence that you're wrong. Sorry. Okay. Here, how about this? I did have this side note, which maybe I said this already. Okay, here's some more. I heard your mother was having an affair. What do you think about that? Well, of course she's not having an affair. That's impossible. Huh? Well, because you say she's not having an affair, that proves she is having an affair. So I was right. Okay, how about this one? Do you know what social justice is? Of course I do. Well, that proves that you don't. Because no one who really understands what social justice is realizes that they really understand it. Now, you can't see this, but Amy is looking at me quizzically. Like, what? And probably what's going in her mind is that makes no sense, which is exactly my point. These all follow the very same pattern. How about this one? I heard you use the N-word when you were talking about blacks. No, I didn't. Aha! That proves that you did. Now we know for sure. It's all the same nonsense. It's all the exact same nonsense. And because of the way this is done, you kind of come in and catch them by surprise coming under the radar, and you play back their reasoning to them. Now, it might be that they're willing to, in the process of hearing, you know, your counterexamples here that you role play with them, as kind of, that they realize, yeah, that's kind of crazy. Okay, well, now they might be open to having a real talk. Okay, so help me out, friend. What is a racist? Now, if they just say a white person, well, you can't go any further. Why would you say a white person is a racist? Because they bought the whole CRT thing. They're racist by definition, which takes us back to blacks are lazy by definition from the 60s, okay? Which is the same error now that people made then by making a prejudicial statement based on something that is not consequential to the issue at large. Skin color doesn't tell you anything about whether somebody is industrious or not. or ethnicity doesn't tell you anything about whether a person is avaricious or not, in the case of what people have often said about Jews. Or you can't trust just gypsies. They'll all steal from you. Well, that's a bigoted generalization that is broadly racist by the classical view, and then it allows you to be justified in seeing an individual gypsy, for example, and thinking and assuming that that person, just in virtue of his ethnicity, has this particular vice. I mean, this is grotesque stuff, but it is what is being done now. And if you're not clear on this, go back to the Solid Ground from May, Critical Race Theory, Civil Rights Upside Down, and I spell this all out in, I think, in very clear terms. But if it turns out by offering some of these ridiculous counterexamples where you employ the same thing against them that they think they are legitimately employing against you, well, then maybe they're going to be at a point where they would be able to listen to some common sense, and then you could say, don't give me this, I'm racist because I'm white, because that's just as bad as Jim Crow stuff, all right? So why are you, what is actual racism as a vice, as an individual vice? What is racism as an individual vice, okay? And then see if they come up with something. And then you could ask them, dilemma number two, why do you think that that is a characteristic of my personality, okay? And what actions have I displayed that gives you that idea? Now you're on a much more sound playing field, so to speak, to figure out whether this is the case. And the problem is, of course, for the other side, is if they go this direction, they're dead in the water. They're just dead in the water because they're not going to be able to make the accusation of racism stick when it's spoken of in a substantive sense like that.
I think my inclination when I hear something like this is to just disengage completely because it feels so hopeless. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the goal of this. I think the goal of a statement like this is to stop people from arguing back. And it works. I mean, who wants to step into mm-hmm. that trap? So I really like those responses, Greg. What people might want to do, depending on who you're talking to and if it's someone you're familiar with, you could even soften it a little bit by saying, here's what I hear when you make a statement like that. It's like saying this. So if you didn't want to hit them that hard, mm-hmm. depending on who you're talking to, throw out one of those statements Greg made and then just say, look, now how do you feel when I say that? Does that feel unfair? Does that feel frustrating? Do you feel silenced? Mm-hmm. Here's why you feel that way, because this cannot be discussed. And what's happening when we can't mm-hmm. discuss these things is that everybody's anger is getting worse and worse. When you feel like you've been attacked, but there's no way to defend yourself, and there's no way to have a discussion about it without causing further harm to yourself, that destroys discourse completely. That causes so much anger mm-hmm. and so much division. So another thing you could bring up is just that. What you're saying right now is making the relations between people way worse because you're denying any opportunity to discuss the truth and to find the truth. You are just shutting that down. And that, you know, Greg, you've talked about this in Solid Ground. All that's left when you do that is power. If you can't discuss right. truthful things and compare them to a standard and see who is right, then all you have left, if nobody can talk and nobody can discuss these things, is just whoever has the most power gets to shut down the other people. And that's not good for anyone.
That's right. So I have. So you had two recommendations. One is to come in a little softer. And what I hear about that is this. And then the second recommendation is, again, to talk a little bit about how the consequences of this approach is going. This hurts relationships. It doesn't solve things. Okay. I'm going to softly disagree with both points. All right.
Okay.
And here's what's and I think you'll see I'll start with the second first. Did you want
to jump in? Let me just clarify one thing. This depends on who you're talking to. Are you talking to a family member? Are you talking to someone on the street? I think those require different sorts of answers. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Okay, so the second answer, I agree entirely with your observation that this just hurts race relations. This doesn't help us get to the truth, et cetera, et cetera. But the CRT response is, you are talking like an oppressor. This is the very thing that oppressors say, to continue to stay in the position of oppressor. When you talk about what the truth is and reason and all of that stuff, and sometimes you'll throw us a little bone like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and all of these are veiled attempts to maintain your white supremacy. Now, you know, you've read enough to know that that is the way they approach these kinds of responses, okay? So just keep in mind they are going to interpret even the even-handed, reasonable pushback that you suggested there in the second suggestion as evidence of their own conviction, of their own take on the oppressor-oppressee relationship. But as far as the first one, some people may feel more comfortable with saying something like, it's kind of a warning, maybe say something, oh, I'm sorry, doggone it, my daughter's calling. Sorry, darling, I got to turn the thing off. Sorry. I'll have to call her back after the show. Somebody's going to, you can maybe take that more gentle approach in, but remember what I said. I said, try to come in under the radar. If you introduce your comment the way you suggested, Amy, which is softer, I agree with that, okay? You are alerting them to the fact that you're going to show them what you think is wrong with their view. I want you to come into the, in under the radar and come in harder and just let it sit there, okay? So think of this again. Oh, see, you this proves you're a racist because all race or whatever. This, when you deny that you're racist, that's proof that you're racist. I am so glad you said that, huh? Because that demonstrates that you're actually wrong. You guys always say that kind of thing, and because you say it, that proves that you're wrong. How could that be? Oh, you don't see it? That's even more evidence that you're wrong. Stop. Full stop. Wait. Let it sink in that this is exactly their technique. Okay, so we each have a different style in terms of.
Do you think they'll sink
in? Well, if that doesn't sink in, I'm not convinced, but I think that that's your best shot. And every single time they try to push back, all you do is play their trick against them. Well, I guess that this. Listen, Fred, that confirms even more to me that you are, you know, that you're wrong on this. Every time you object, that just solidifies me more in my conviction that you don't know what you're talking about. So there you go. And then refuse to be influenced by it. You can let that be the only thing that you say. And here's how you get into it. Ramp up into it. I'm glad that you said that. Catches them completely off guard. Why? Because now I know you're wrong. Because you guys say that all the time. No, I'm not. Oh, that proves that you're wrong because you're denying it. So it proves that you're mistaken. Thank you. That's just confirmed my suspicions about you guys. Just play it out and then just let it lie there. Now, if you want, you could, you know, use some of those other illustrations that I offered, but I think that one's the best one right out of the gate. But if you think it's a little too aggressive for you, then Amy's approach, give them a little warning of what you're going to do, then, you know, that might be nicer for you. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come in under the radar and knock them right out with their own ideas, with their own reasoning.
I'm very interested to hear if any of you listeners out there tried this, I'm really interested to hear what happens and how they respond. I guess I just want to hope. Surely there are people out there who are not so far gone and are close enough to you that, and also, Greg, this goes back to your whole thing about the inside-outside thing. Everybody mm-hmm. knows deep down a lot of things that they're denying by arguing this way. So the idea that it's better to actually argue to truth, I want to believe that deep down people know that's the case. I don't know if that's true, but no. I, especially with somebody you're
blessed
close to.
Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, Amy. There she is right there. Well,
I mean,
I agree
we're all
with
rational
that. You know, in
creatures.
Principle, that's right. and what this technique is meant to show. It's a reductio. It's meant to reduce the point of view to its ridiculous consequences. And that is in a certain sense, a rational technique. But I think it's also rhetorically clever facing this rhetorical move. Hopefully people will say, what you just said is dumb, but it's just like what I just said. So I guess what I just said is dumb too. We'll see. I don't know.
Would you actually connect those dots for them at the end, or would you just let it lie?
Well, I want to have a full stop after that statement so it sinks in. I just want to let it sink in and see what they say. And if they object, you know, then I might come up with some other parallels. I say, oh, and I also heard that you said the N-word the other day. No, I didn't. Well, everybody who says the N-word denies that they said it. And so your denial now is evidence to me you really did say it. Why did you say that? I didn't do it. Well, that even confirms even more. So just keep playing that same thing back at them and see what they say. Now, what they may do is cut off the conversation, or they may scream at you or whatever. Well, that just confirms the point. It also confirms my other point that this probably is. Anybody who thinks this is a good way to respond is not somebody that you're going to be able to reason very much with. That's my suspicion, but there may be some exceptions, Amy, and God bless your optimistic outlook. And
well, like I said, it's a different thing if you're on the street with somebody or you're with a sibling or a longtime friend or whatever. So maybe there's a little bit of, although if you're with somebody,
I would
know well,
maybe your
approach would be better because they're more likely not to just walk away immediately. I don't know, Greg. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's going to have to try and then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
that was a good one, Amy.
Thanks for thinking about this overnight, Greg. And thank you, Hank, for mm-hmm. sending in the question. We really look forward to hearing
it's
from all
question.
Of you. This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.